podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jay here, Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast, and with me is Mr. Joe Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've got two bits of news for you, Jay.
Go on.
Number one, my voice isn't great.
Right, okay.
And number two, yeah. I'm wearing the same pants, socks, jeans, t-shirt, jumper, and trainers, and not brush my teeth as yesterday.
You absolute lunatic.
I haven't brushed my teeth since 7 a.m.
Do you know what? We're
yesterday
both
morning.
A bit rough, man.
Go on, Joe Single.
He looks like he just climbed out of a skip. Go on, go to my single. I look like I've been back at it.
You look like you own the skip.
I like it. Yeah, I like I've nicked the
you
skip.
You like you went, oi, get out of my skip.
I was subletting the skip off you.
Same pants, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a shower and got changed since yesterday.
Loser.
I know, I'm such a...
Are you even a United fan if you've had a shower since yesterday?
Woke up in the same clothes as the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah.
What even are you?
I know.
Me and Joseph were at the Wembley yesterday. Yeah. It was a momentous occasion, was it not, sir? We couldn't do our... We were going to do a little bit of a review, weren't we? But we got chucked off the car park.
We got thrown out of a car park.
Yeah.
Which was a shame.
The lady wasn't happy with us. We were filming and she went, no.
They don't let you film anywhere around Wembley. It's a right joke.
Jobsworths.
It's just pathetic.
Do you know what I mean?
Because also, the thing I don't get is, I thought that... Do you know when you see people filming the police on like YouTube videos and they're going, I know my rights.
Yeah.
I know my rights. And they film the police. Yeah. How come then that's allowed, you can't film yourself
in a similar public space?
It's
nonsense, right? I think you can film because if me and you stood on top of that car park with a phone filming each other, would she have come up and gone, can't do that?
No.
Yeah, a camera on your phone is a camera.
Yeah.
Like, it's the fact we had a proper camera with a light and everything and a microphone.
And a helicopter.
And a production team.
Doing shots like in the Matrix.
And we cordoned off the car park.
But yeah, I think
it's
bullshit.
And we were both sat in our trailers doing our makeup.
I think you should be allowed to film on any bit of public land. I know a car park, I suppose, isn't public land. But they don't let you film on the public land around Wembley at all.
Yeah, I always thought you could film wherever you wanted, like if it's public land.
Yeah.
When I went to uni, and they were like, you need to get this risk assessment, you need to do this, and you need to apply to the council if you're going to film. I was like, you don't.
Apply to the council? Yeah. Planning permission is just a state of mind.
Exactly.
I think if I've put the conservatory up already, what are you going to do, knock it down? No, you won't need to, because the wind will, because it was shoddily made. Have you ever seen that where... I was watching a video the other day. This is off topic already because I'm not still pissed, definitely, but I have got a weird headache.
This feels a bit like The Brew, to be fair.
I was watching a video and it was, I don't know if you've seen these videos before where it's like some builders will be knocking the shit out of someone's like front garden that they've made because they've not paid them or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, oh, this is what you get. And then this one, I was looking and the reason that they hadn't paid them is because they'd done an awful job. And you could see as they were knocking it up, like filming it themselves, like, haven't we got this woman back for not paying us? They'd not put any cement under the flags. There was massive gaps between everything. They were knocking it and there was like running water underneath. And you're like, you've just done her a favour because you've done the worst job of all time on this driveway and you've knocked it up for her.
So that guy that, wasn't it the guy that knocked down the hotel that they hadn't paid him?
Now that is good.
Like in his JCB or whatever, it was like a Premier Inn or something and he just drove into it. Like, they're not paying me, so I'm just going to wreck this hotel. There's no one in it, though. So, it was, no one was harmed.
There's a lot of anti Newcastle slander in the comments, and I'm just here to say that I think some of it's slightly unfair, Jay.
Why is that? Go on. Give us a taste. Give us a PG taste. A PG.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Parental guidance.
How many Geordies does it take to change a light bulb? And then it just says, was a light bulb? As in, like, what's a light bulb in the Geordie accent? That's harsh, isn't it? Because technically, they're no less smart than anywhere else in the country, obviously. But they are incapable of...
Why did you say that technically? Like, technically, they're human. What? Why are you technically?
No, I just mean they are. Like, there isn't... I don't mean like...
Technically.
I just mean they are. It is, smartness over there.
That, it didn't seem like you were having a think there.
No, I didn't mean to. I was trying to be nice.
You failed. It is a bit mean, though, isn't it? Because it's like kicking them while they're down.
Yeah.
It was funny, though, yesterday.
They've lost 9 games at Wembley in a row.
We were going through... Should we find a thing?
Yeah.
We were going through this, right? Ethan, our producer, is a Newcastle fan.
Probably should have given him a mic for this podcast, shouldn't we?
Oh, is it too late?
No, it's not too late.
Ethan, get a mic.
Even if you ain't got a camera, you can get a mic quick.
Can we get Ethan a microphone? Because we want to say to McCarvin for being a Newcastle fan.
Yeah.
Basically, there was, I think it was on there, Newcastle have got this record of losing 9 times at Wembley.
Yeah.
Right. And we were looking at it, me and you, and it was how bad their record is at losing at Wembley. It's that bad that they've even lost in games that you wouldn't even think were at Wembley. Right. There was these games that I'd never heard of. There was one in 1988 where they had the Centenary Cup at Wembley.
Yeah.
Well, they had 40-minute games,
but
apparently.
The Centenary Cup was meant to be a 100-year anniversary of the start of the Football League,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, so they had this competition where no one went and watched it, and Newcastle lost to Tranmere in that.
Yeah.
They lost to Spurs twice at Wembley, when Spurs were playing at Wembley.
Yeah.
They lost in the FA Cup semi-final to Chelsea. They lost in successive FA Cup finals to us and Arsenal.
Yeah.
They lost in... What else was it?
The Community Shield in 1996.
That was my favourite. The Community Shield in 1996. The only reason they were in the Community Shield was because United did a double in 1996. And because Newcastle had finished second, they were invited to play in the Community Shield against United and got battered 4-0. Like,
I love how he said Community Shield, runners-up.
Yeah, like, he says on their Wikipedia page, he's got like Community Shield, runners-up. Like, they've achieved something.
They've done well to get a second.
Like, they only got in there because by default, and then they got battered. So, yeah, their record at Wembley is horrendous. I was saying to you yesterday that the one time I felt confident against Newcastle, where I was as sure as the day is long we were going to win, was when I saw him before the kickoff with all the flags, waving the flags.
Yeah, what made you be so confident when you saw that?
I just thought, they're going to lose us.
What? Because they all. So United fans had
scarves
on the
we
floor.
We had scarves. And we held scarves up. Yeah.
And Newcastle fans had either a black or a white sort of flag. Bin bag.
You
flag
know, visually stunning.
Yeah.
You know,
it did look great. I'll be honest.
No, I'll give my hat off to them. It looked good. They're all up for it. You can see them all there.
Yeah.
You look over to it. You think that looks amazing.
Yeah.
All the flags. They're all cheering. They're all. Dead, you know, dead giddy. They've been in Trafalgar Square. They've been there for days. They've made the most of it. This is it. They're finally at Wembley for the first time in 24 years. Look at all this. I knew they were going to lose.
Why?
I just knew. You could
How
just
did
tell.
That do it for you?
You could just say, they're going to lose this. Like, you can just know. Because there was an air almost for me as well of, and this might sound ludicrous for a cup final, they're too giddy. They're too... And the players have got to be feeling this. There's too much going on here. Where United, even though we've not won out for 6 years, it felt a little bit more like, matter of fact, this is business.
Yeah.
We've been at Wembley dozens of times. Yeah. We've won dozens of times. I've seen United win at Wembley. I've lost count how many times.
Mm.
Whereas for a lot of those Geordies, it's the first time they've even been at Wembley. And it felt to me like that occasion for everything is going to get to them more than it will us.
Yeah.
And plus, there's less question marks about us. They had question marks about, Loris Karius is in goal and, we're in this run. I think they've drawn 6 of the last 7 games or whatever. This is a bit of a, first Wembley. It's all happening. United, it's like, we're in a great bit of form. We've been beating everyone. We've got options. We're used to being at Wembley. Our trophy drought lasted less than 6 years.
Mm.
Theirs has lasted what? How many years?
How many?
55, is it?
Since
69. Since 69. So, and that's not me trying to be having a dig at Newcastle because, fair play to the fans for turning up and that. But you look at all that and you think, you ain't winning this. You're not winning this.
The thing that got me,
happening.
That kind of made me thought they wouldn't win is I was reading before the game on the way down in the paper that Varane had won 17 of the 21 finals he played in before yesterday. And I thought, Newcastle in the League Cup isn't going to be one of 5 losses he's ever had in a final, is it?
No.
Like, that's not going to be on the list. It's going to be 18 of 22 after this because, no offence to him, but it's just, he's so much bigger than the League Cup anyway, let's be honest. Like, I know, obviously, I'm not knocking the League Cup, but Rafael Varane's won so much more than that that he's not going to be like, we lost to Newcastle.
It does feel as well in Newcastle that is how, and Ethan, I think, Ethan, are you on camera? Have you got a camera? Yeah, Ethan is with us. He's our producer and he's also a Newcastle fan. It does feel like, from my memory, and Ethan, you can correct me. I know you weren't around, but I'm no doubt you've watched it and you know. In 98 and in 99 and yesterday, Newcastle in finals didn't really turn up. I think if memory serves, the Arsenal final in 98 was pretty run-of-the-mill for Arsenal. In 99, we never got out of second gear and we won it. And yesterday, I don't think United were particularly great.
Yeah.
But we won it comfortably.
Ethan, you've heard a lot there.
Mm. I'm not trying to have a dig at you. I'm just being honest about my assessment.
Your mic has only just been set up. Your camera's only just been set up. So here's your chance to sort of clap back, as they say, to sort of fire some shots back our way. Newcastle fan, Geordie, producer of the show.
Yeah.
Come on, hit us with something. What you got? Hit us with both barrels here.
I don't know who that's...
There you
that's,
go. Hit us with a bit of...
Went wrong.
A visual sorry. Of yourself first.
Sorry, there, you hello. Go. Oh, there can you is. See me? Yeah, sorry, the camera's not perfect, but hello, everyone. I don't really know if I've got the oomph to really have a go back, to be honest, Drew. Yeah, I still feel...
The facts.
The facts, yeah, maybe as well. It was a sad day yesterday. I was quite emotional.
Did you cry?
It was in the 88th minute. We were 2-0 down and it was all over. And then the fans started picking up their black and white flags again and singing. And that got me a little bit.
Because
it made me think, like, oh, we've got here and we just haven't done it. But they're still... It was so special to be there. Do you know what I mean?
Did you feel like you should have done more, or were you happy with what you did? Because do you think? Because at some point you're going to go from, and you will, just because the money you've got, you're going to go from happy to be there to no, this is ours to lose now because of the resources and the sort of presumably money available to you.
Yeah, I think I've done that again. I think we'll be back in the future, absolutely. And to be honest with you, on the day, going into it, I genuinely believe Man United are the most informed team maybe in the world right now. Yeah. And Marcus Rashford may be the most informed player. And I always felt like he was going to do something, whether that was score or assist. And Newcastle haven't been on form going into it. We've struggled to score goals, and maybe the timing just wasn't right. Maybe if it was... United's obviously have had times in the season where they've had some games where they've struggled. Arguably, if they won those games, they could be top of the league the way they've been playing. I just think the timing wasn't right. That was all.
I think you've got to give yourself a little bit of credit, though, because you're kind of ahead of schedule, I feel, in your development under the oppressive regime that owns you. Last season you were trying to escape relegation. This season you've been in and around the top four, which is a massive leap from survival to challenging for a Champions League place. You've got to a cup final this season at the first time of asking. So if you look at, say, as a good example is Manchester City, who in 2008 inherited all their money from their own oppressive regime, and they took, I think, 3 years to win a cup.
Yeah.
And then another year to win the league, which was quite quick.
Really,
but even that was, you know, it was a few years before they went from, I think that was their first final in 2011. So you've done well in terms of, you know, how quickly you've turned it around with the money you've got. I think, to be fair to Eddie Howe, he has done a good job. And I didn't rate Eddie Howe when he went to Newcastle. But I think the fly in the ointment for you was you were coming against not just an informed team, but for me, a manager, and I'm not just saying this to have a dig at you, bro, but I took comfort in the fact it was Ten Hag versus Eddie Howe.
I did. A manager that makes Shaw's look pathetic.
I can't see Ten Hag being outwitted by Eddie Howe.
I think Eddie Howe's decent.
Yeah, I do. I think he's done well.
We've talked a lot about Newcastle, and I want to talk about being positive about United now.
Yeah.
But before that, I think we should hear a word from today's sponsor, don't you, Jay?
I definitely do.
Because today we are sponsored by Manscaped.
Manscaped.
Yeah. The ultimate in male grooming.
Yes.
Spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, have the best tool for spring cleaning your pants.
Yes.
Or what's inside your pants.
Well, exactly. I want to clean what's inside me kecks. Yeah? And thanks to Manscaped, we can do. And you've even got some visual aids there, haven't you?
Look at them. I've got what?
You've got some props.
Where have I contracted that from?
That is
the train yesterday. It was very dirty. This is the Manscaped body wash. Yeah,
yeah.
I use it when I wash.
Yeah, you need
which
to
is
use
once
it.
Every 4 days. I use the Manscaped body wash, and it's got a lovely pump action as well.
Yeah,
so you can just put it on the side of the bath and just
love that.
It all over your big, big body.
So when that noise is coming from your bathroom, that's what that is it? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, it's either that or
when that is coming.
it's either that, Jay, or
it's the pump action thing.
The two
that's what you're saying.
Conditioner.
Right, okay.
So yeah, it's one of the two for sure. Make sure you check out Manscaped. Use the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping. Yeah.
I love this because you've got the performance package 4.0, right? You've got your boxer briefs. Yeah. You've got the lawnmower 4.0 with the skin safe technology.
Oh, well, this thing here.
You've got, yes,
oh,
well,
the
exactly.
lawnmower 4.0. Look at the size of that. You can fit that in any sort of pocket. It couldn't be more travelable.
It yeah? couldn't be
it's
more travelable.
It's got a locking on-off switch as well.
I love that because the amount of times I've had something that's only got an on or an off switch.
Yeah.
So it's either on all the time or it's off all the time.
Pathetic.
That's got on or off.
Yeah.
You can have best of both worlds.
Yeah, like a glow stick.
Exactly.
Famously, the on or off.
Yeah.
Cannot go back.
Do you know what I mean? So you've got that. You've got the Crop Reviver toner. Yeah. You've got the Weed Whacker,
what,
right?
Sorry, this, Jay.
Men, pass us that.
Fucking you, pass me it.
Yeah. Men of a certain age, right?
Yeah.
Which is my age. We need this, yeah? We need this because you get up in the morning, there's these little spider's legs popping out from everywhere, and you're like, how's that happened? Well, with that, bad boy.
Yeah.
That's the end of that, yeah? So you get all that. Yeah.
Deodorant as
deodorant.
Well.
Deodorant. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, and what's this finally to put it all in? The Shed travel bag. Look at that.
That's really decent, that.
Yeah. It's
you can look like a proper celeb sort
yeah.
of.
You can look like Ty from Arsenal Fan TV.
Yeah, when he
going
comes
into the studio.
Where he comes like, where he puts his thumbs up to the camera.
Do you know what I mean?
Like he's part of the match day squad.
You can look like that with Manscaped using the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping. Join over, is it, what is it?
Eight million men. That has doubled.
8 million men.
That's literally one out of every three men.
That is unbelievable.
On the planet.
Jesus Christ, amazing. I need to use all of these in about 20 minutes after this podcast.
I wish you'd used them before this podcast, to be honest with you. But, well, there you go. And if you want to win that particular roll on deodorant...
It's not a prize. It's not a competition. Just head up to Manscaped. The link is in the description. Check them out. I'll put the link in the comments as well. Use the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping your balls and pretty much everywhere else.
And your colleagues will thank you. Trust me on that one.
When you said, and your car, I thought we were going in a different direction. Manscaped. Right. We've talked about Eddie Howe, or as I like to call him, Eddie Howe. But no one else is picking up on that. That's my joke that I'm the only one that ever uses.
Is that a thing, Ethan? Is he the only one that calls him Eddie Howe?
Nobody else does that, Jay.
And that's a good joke. Like, Arsene Wenger managed Arsenal. It worked. Yeah. Jurgen Klopp managed the Kop. It works. People talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
No one's talking about the fact that Newcastle's manager is literally called Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
No one's talking about it except me. Anyway, this guy right here. Best manager in the world, it says there.
He is. Name me a manager that's better. I'll wait.
See, the thing is, when you compare expectation to reality,
yeah.
The ones that would... Arteta would have an argument. Because they were looking at fighting for top four and they're currently 5 points clear at the top of the league. So we can bring him in.
Well, we can. But also, look at the failures he's had.
Go on.
He's finished eighth twice.
Yeah.
All right, that's disgusting. Yeah, for starters.
It's vile.
It's vile. Yeah, he had that run where, what was it, that run that he went on where he won like one out of 12 games, whatever it was.
Yeah, do you remember what that one game was?
United.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not under this man.
No.
So I don't think you can say Mikel Arteta has the CV, the track record, the pedigree, or the trophy cabinet that Erik ten Hag does. Erik ten Hag won what? Was it three titles in 3 years at Ajax?
Yeah.
It would have been 4-4 if it weren't for COVID.
Yeah.
He's also come to United and won a trophy the first time of asking. Mm. Now Arsenal fans will go, well, Arteta won an FA Cup and straight away and he beat Man City and Chelsea. Yeah, that's great. What did he do the following season? Finished eighth.
Yeah.
This guy's coming. We're competitive in the league, we're competitive in the Europa League, competitive in the FA Cup, and we've won the Carabao.
Yeah.
He's doing it all. He's got this team believing, and he inherited a team that was shocking.
Yeah.
Like, under Ralph Ragnick, that United team was the worst I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, same.
Genuinely. I'm not just saying that to be melodramatic. Even under Moyes, we were the reigning champions. He literally got sacked whilst we were still the reigning champions.
Yeah.
Ragnick just... We look like we're barely good enough to play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, honestly,
it was relegation form by the end.
Well, we lost under Ragnick, we lost 6 away games on the spin, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we lost 1 under Ten Hag before he sorted that out. He sorted out the Old Trafford form as well. We keep winning at Old Trafford. We're beating everyone at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
Barcelona,
Liverpool,
City, Arsenal.
Do you know what I mean? Spurs, yeah. If you want to throw them in.
Yeah.
I mean, our record at Old Trafford is fantastic.
Monumental.
Yeah. And Marcus Rashford is probably the best attacker on the planet right now in terms of form.
When you look at the team that's been assembled, Rashford is arguably, certainly one of the most informed players in the world.
Yes.
Attackers. Casemiro is one of the best midfielders in the world, and he's playing like it. Mm. Then you've got Martinez and Varane, who I think this season have both been two of the best, probably five or six centre backs.
Is that
the
not the best centre back pairing there is?
Certainly at the moment, yeah.
Like, is there a better one?
I can't think of one. Because even you look at Madrid, it was at Militao and Alaba. That's pretty good. That's very good. But it's certainly comparable.
Would you say
but you wouldn't
that...
swap a prime Rafael Varane for either of those
no,
two?
I
don't think. When you
and
think
I think
about
Martinez
what
is what he's done. He's been a revelation.
Yeah.
He really has.
Yeah.
And I still stand by the idea that the Premier League's the hardest league in terms of defending. I think you're up against it. And I think in Spain, yes, you've got some very good teams in Spain. But I don't think the standard of Spanish football is as good as the standard of English football right now.
No.
I really don't.
I mean, even if you just think of the money that's been spent in that league, you'd assume it would have accrued a higher proportion of top players. Well, we've outspent the next highest league by two times, I think, or three times. So that's not even like we're English and the English league's the best. Just follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they've done well in cup competitions, but I think if you made the Premier League a 40-team league and brought everyone from La Liga over, I think there'd be more Premier League teams in the top 20 than there would be La Liga teams.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, for me, those two are performing at the highest level there is at the minute.
Yeah.
So you've got to give credit to the manager.
And that spine is just phenomenal. And he's bought two of those three players.
And also...
And the other one, he's completely rejuvenated.
Yeah, he's rejuvenated him. And he finds a system that works. You know, we lose Christian Eriksen, he brings in Sabitzer.
Yeah.
We lose Anthony Martial. And he's not got any money. And he brings in Weghorst. They're not like Weghorst set the world alight, but he's doing a job that he needs to do.
Yeah.
And when you've not got any money to spend, what do you want him to do? He's not going to go out and buy Kylian Mbappe,
and also,
is he?
Weghorst has come in, played more minutes than Martial this season already, and since he's been here, we've beaten City, we've won the League Cup, we've...
Beaten Barca,
over two legs as well, that he played in both legs.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not blowing the world away, but he's being a competent player and an ever-present player in a team that's successful.
You said something the other week, and I agree with you. You said about Jadon Sancho, you'd never seen that before. What Eriksen and I did with Sancho.
No.
Where you give a player 2.5 months off to go and get better. Not when he's physically injured, but when something's not right. Now, he did that. United kept winning. And then Jadon Sancho came back and started scoring.
Yeah.
Or kept scoring. He'd scored a few before he went away, to be fair to the kid.
Yeah.
But that's just superb management. It couldn't have been any better. You know, even little things like... discipline. Marcus is late, he's a top scorer, it doesn't matter, you're late.
And I've seen multiple United players talk about how important that was. Did you see the interview with Bruno the other day, talking about how he said he's willing to do it with everyone. He did it with Ronaldo, he did it with Rashford, there's someone
Garnacho
else who mentioned
might have been
Garnacho,
well.
He didn't mention Garnacho.
I don't think he named Chelsea,
because he was talking about the more senior players.
Right.
And the Rashford one was a big one. He said when that happened, when Rashford turned up late, apparently everyone was going, all right, what's he going to do here? Because he's our best player, he's in form. Is he going to stick to his guns? And he said, when he dropped him, everyone kind of went, oh shit, this is just universal. This is how you behave at Manchester United now. There's no, well, it's Rashford, so he can get away with it. There's no, oh, it's Ronaldo. It's such a big difference.
It's similar to the way Fergie approached it after he took over from Atkinson.
Yeah.
Where he had to instill some discipline because the team was just in disarray, really, a lot of drinking culture and all that. No, it's not the same. We haven't got a drinking culture United. But under Ralph Radnick, you did feel like the lunatics were running the asylum. And almost under Ollie as well.
Yeah.
There was a little element of that. It was all like, you know, the carrot rather than the stick and arms around the shoulder. And, oh, don't worry about it, son, never mind.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And it wasn't working. He's come in and he's set his stall out early doors.
Yeah.
And if you're Cristiano Ronaldo or you're Alejandro Garnacho, it doesn't matter, you get treated the same. And I like that. And I think it's fair.
Yeah.
It's worse. He's got the squad working. He's got players playing. His signings have been great, and we're challenging. I mean, I don't understand. Like, what more could he have done?
It doesn't seem as well like he's doing it for the praise. Like someone like Jose, and this may be unfair, but we've seen enough of Jose Mourinho to have a rough idea of what his certainly public character and public persona is like.
Yeah,
he would have dropped Sancho and then kept going on about how great he was for being nice to someone. Like he's he's not obsessed with getting praise for things. He's not like doing things for the sake of it, for other people to look how good he is. Felt like at times, like certainly like I said under Jose, where he lets you know that he's telling Luke Shaw what to do minute by minute because he wants some praise for that and he wants to have a go at him. He lets you know all of the players that he's brought through. He brings in a list of 45 players or whatever it was, some of which he didn't even bring through. But he wants constant praise. He's talking about finishing second in the league with Man United was the best, my greatest ever achievement. He wants you to know all the time, or he wants that feedback, that praise from people constantly, to the point where it can then be, he will be quite willing to throw other people under the bus or to make it, you know, push someone else down to keep himself up. Whereas Ten Hag, it feels genuinely like it's all for the greater good. Yeah. It's all what is best for everyone, not for me, but for Manchester United and for, you know, the ability to win games. And I think that's a massive thing as well in terms of how I see this going over the next sort of 3 to 5 years rather than just, you know, 1 to 2 years. He seems to be creating an environment where, like you said, everything's fair. There's a certain level of discipline to things, but it's not like a sort of mean or mean-spirited. It makes sense, and if you stay in line, I will be perfect with you. And if you don't, here's what happens. And you can see, like, it doesn't ever feel like he's just making it up on the spot. It's all considered and thoughtful. And I think that can last a lot longer than this kind of emotional up and down Jose stuff that we've had in the past. I'm hopeful that he can be here for, you know, a longer term, because that would be massive.
I agree. I will ask Ethan, because we've given him a mic and a camera. Let's see what he thinks. As a outsider looking in at Manchester United, seeing Erik ten Hag, seeing what he's doing, do you rate him? Do you fear him? Are you worried that, you know, this could be your era and instead it's going to be United?
I think he's brilliant. I really rate Erik ten Hag. I really, from working on the channel, we've done videos like tactics videos before he came in, and from doing that, just like the style of play, and he's really brought that into Man United, I feel, and I feel like it's working, which is probably the scary thing, because you saw at Ajax how good it was, and it was like, oh, will that transfer into the Premier League? Will bringing in players like Lisandro Martinez from Ajax, Antony from Ajax, are they really going to work out in the best league in the world? Because the Eredivisie doesn't really compare to that. And it's worked really well so far, so quickly. At the start, I thought, oh, God, losing 4-0 to Brentford and Brighton. That was horrendous. But it has worked out, and it's worked out really quickly. And if this keeps continuing, I would expect probably Man United to be the out-and-out title favourites for next season.
Fucking yes.
So, yeah, I do probably.
And that's coming from someone that admittedly might want to make United look better than they are so that it was softened to the blow of losing to them. But he's relatively neutral. That's good to hear.
Yeah, no, it is, and I think
it does feel like all the fans are a bit scared of us again.
You've seen it. You've seen the way that one thing that I hated, and I've hated a few times as a United fan, was when you get into that element of teams even not caring about you, because he's like, under Ragnick, no one cared about us. We were sat in six. We weren't doing anything. Who gives a
I feel like under Van Gaal was a bit of that.
There was a bit of that. Under Moyes was a bit of that as well, and almost the feeling sorry for you when you have rival managers sticking up for your manager. Do you know what I mean? And saying, oh, leave David Moyes
give
alone.
A bit of time.
Yeah, he just needs a bit of patience. It's not easy succeeding to Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I'm thinking, I don't want my rivals being nice to me and sticking up for me because they feel sorry for us, and B, they don't want the manager to get sacked because he's so terrible. They know that as long as he's in charge of Manchester United are never going to be challenging for anything. Yeah. But I think with Erik ten Hag, people look at him and go, this is a guy that knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell it in some of the arguments against him. He's just so nonsensical that you think he's got a few people rattled. Yeah. I hate using that word, but it's true. It really has. And it's good to see. It's about time.
We've got a few super chats. Tina says, Clasimira, what a player. And for 60 million, look at Chelsea. Use 100 million for Mudrick. This is what we need to be big this season. I do think, I saw it last night, but 100 million quid for Varane and Casemiro. I know they're both in the sort of, maybe the final third of their career, whatever you want to say, but to bring in a cumulative something like 38 top level trophies into the dressing room over 2 years is a phenomenal bit of business. When you think what 100 million gets you these days, which is a Darwin Nunes, a Mudrick, a Pogba or whatever, to bring two players in that have won everything and clearly still have the fire and the fight to carry on winning, you look at it and you think that is great business really, isn't it? Soki says, it would be great if we start a stand up if you want the Glazers out chant in the 17th minute of matches. Them staying would be a nightmare. I just want to bring that up quickly. Not on the chant itself.
I get that you're talking about, I think you're saying specifically 17 because they have been here, it's actually 18 now.
Yeah.
Years, I think. So I get that. But there is a stand up if you hate Glazers and all that. And they've changed. There was that chant, weren't there? Or there is that chant, you know, you've seen United, now F off home.
Yeah.
And the latest one doing the rounds is sell United and F off home.
Yeah.
Obviously, was it Avram or Joel who was at the game last night? I don't care. Was it Avram?
Yeah.
He was getting grief. It annoyed me a little bit because at one point they put him on the screen, but they put Fergie on the screen with him in shot. So it was like some people were cheering because you see Fergie, and some people were booing because you see the Glazer, you know, thing sticking up at the bottom. So yeah, there is a lot of anger, and as you'd expect, these rumours and rumblings that I had in the news this morning that maybe they're not going to do one.
Well, I just want to get into that. So we've got a tweet from Kieran Maguire which came out. If you just scroll down to when that tweet was posted. It was at 3:43 today, so just 50 minutes before we went live. If we go back up so I can read it, he says Manchester United share price has fallen another 12.9% today as the market gets jitters that the Glazers will not sell. And this is the staggering bit: Manchester United's club value has fallen by $1.2 billion in just over a week because of these rumours. And a lot of people think that the suggestion that the Glazers aren't happy with the bids and that they might stay is just a bargaining tactic rather than actually, you know, likely, which I probably tend to agree with. Because if you think, I mean, we'll use, actually, that's the worst possible example I could possibly use. But if you think from a negotiating perspective, if Radcliffe or Qatar and whoever's made bids think, well, they're definitely selling, so it's just who makes the slight, like, one penny more out of the other two of, you know, whoever we are, then they'll sell it to us. That's a bad position for the Glazers to negotiate from, isn't it? If they say, well, if the offer's not there, we're not going to sell at all, then that sort of helps their position. So I can see why they're doing that. But the fact that the club value has fallen by $1.2 billion, or the market value, because it won't change the bids, in a week is absolutely mental. And it shows how the regard that not just United fans, but the market, money men, people in football, people in the general public, consider the Glazers to be such a sort of detriment to the club. The fact that they might stay has knocked about a quarter of our value off in a week. It's obscene, really, isn't it?
It is obscene. And I think that should, you know, like you say, give everyone an indication of just how badly the Glazers are viewed by the markets, by the fans, by everyone.
Yeah.
They've just mismanaged this club. And I've seen a few people, I saw it on Twitter earlier, saying, like, you've just won a trophy, you've had success under Glazers, you spent 200 million in the summer.
Excuse me.
But it's the same old argument. We're still in £515 million net debt.
Yeah.
It's been there since they took over that furnished debt. That, you know, we got in the debt to have them as owners. We've still got a stadium that needs £1 billion spending on it.
Minimum.
Yeah. We've got a training ground that needs around £500 million spending on it, I think, because that's been allowed to decay after 25 years. I think it was new in 2000, or 23 years, sorry. It was new in 2000. They've not touched it since they arrived in 2005.
Yeah.
Other clubs or our rivals have got new state-of-the-art facilities. We haven't.
Yeah.
And we're meant to be the biggest club, or one of the biggest clubs in the world. And it's only this season where we've actually been challenging on all these fronts since Sir Alex Ferguson retired.
Yeah.
You know, under Jose, we challenged for the FA Cup, sorry, the League Cup and the Europa, but we were well out of it in the league.
Yeah.
He gave up on the league in January. Under Van Gaal, we won the FA Cup and finished sixth. You know, other times when we've finished second in the league or done well in the league, we haven't won anything. We haven't won a trophy.
Yep.
So we've not done anything in the cups. I know we got to the Europa League final, but we didn't win it.
We haven't finished top four and got a trophy in 10 years, have we?
No.
In the same season?
No. So,
which is ludicrous, really.
That was the standard.
Yeah.
So let's not kid ourselves that the Glazers have done well for Manchester United or have done a good job. They haven't. Yeah. I know Wayne Rooney said it the other day, but I honestly don't know what planet he was on. I love Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
He's one of my favourite players ever. But at one point he said, you know, he gave them credit for buying him, and they didn't. He arrived before they got here. So I just think he was confused.
Yeah.
And I think anyone else who thinks the Glazers have done a good job, just look at how much money they've spent at their club, and look at how much money your owners have spent on yours, and tell me that Glazers have done a good job.
Yeah. Thomas Minard says, super chat free thing, get yourself a pint, lad. Better luck next time. people being nice to you, Ethan. Abdul Ibrahim says, Moyes, LVG, Jose and Ole all have hair. Eric Ten Hag doesn't. Maybe we found a winning pattern. And that pattern is male pattern baldness.
Yeah.
AAO, as a 21-year-old with only a patchy memory of 2013... You've only got a patchy memory of 2013, haven't you? But for different reasons.
I've got a very patchy memory of it. I saw a picture
of you about an hour ago that absolutely confirms what you've said by... In one of the most... It's one of the worst pictures I've ever seen of any human.
Have we got it? Bring it up?
I would love to, if you don't mind showing it.
Listen,
you don't have to.
I wear my heart on my sleeve.
This picture of Jay is... It was in 2012, wasn't it? Yeah. United were playing Blackburn, was it?
We played Blackburn at Ewood Park in 2012. Can you go on my single? I don't know if you can see that, because I can't see. Can you see it? Yeah. Now, just to give you a bit of context, this is me at Ewood Park, right?
With a Ribena.
With a Ribena.
Oh, so immediately, someone might go, oh, were you not drinking that day, Jay?
No. I started drinking at 9 a.m. at Witherspoon's breakfast. Started doing other things as well, which we won't get into. And then by the time it got to, we'd been on a little tour of Warrington, Preston, and got to Blackburn.
The classic.
By the time we got to Ewood Park, kickoff was approaching. I realised I could barely stand up. My eyes were rolling. I wasn't going to see the game, and I wanted to see the game. I was determined I'm not going to miss the game, man, because I've done this a few times when I got too levered and I didn't know where I was. So I started drinking the Ribena, and we won 2-0. And I remember thinking, yeah, this is it. We're going to win the league this season. This is meant. Yeah, the rest is history.
Abhinav Verma says, we're playing in both the Premier League and La Liga this season. If we beat Betis, Eric should also be given La Liga along with the Bangkok Cup. I agree with that. If we beat all their best teams, then it's only fair. Warrior says, I hope the Glazers do one and don't stay and spoil the party. The protest, if they stay, will be on another level.
Biblical, Joseph.
Worrying, actually. Mozin says, how do you guys feel about Richard Arnold if the new owners come in and keep him as CEO for continuity? Is it unfair to judge him based on Woodward's mess? I don't think we've seen any evidence that Richard Arnold is terrible. I don't know what he's like as a person. I don't know behind the scenes, but he's not bought the worst players and he seems to sort of stay out of it a bit more than Ed Woodward did. I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understood him doing that chat that he had with those people that apparently weren't from the 58, although some people saying they were from the 58.
Yeah.
I think there was a bit of confusion at the time. I think they may have been like affiliates. Sorry, I was just putting a bit, I've got chat lips. And don't mind me.
And that can't wait.
It can't. There we go. That's better.
You.
And
fucking Jennifer Lopez on the podcast.
The fact you're referencing Jennifer Lopez.
Because do you know why I picked her? She had the same birthday as me.
I like it.
Yeah.
So there was that where he sat down with him and I thought, okay, fair enough, he kind of fronted up a little bit. This season, we've done well. Do you give him credit for that? Do you say he's done well?
Fucking hell, give me that Vaseline. Have you ever seen?
No, you're not putting your dirty fingers in.
I want to show you how I apply it.
Oh, go on, then. Don't be messing with it, though.
I'm not going to touch it. You do it like this. Oh, look at me. Oh, look at me. Fingering it and lip it. I just do this. Kiss the little vessel.
That won't work. That won't. You'll get it all over your beard, man.
Would do. Alex Buckingham says, give Ethan a hug and Jay a tissue for that sneeze. We will do. Darren C says, can we use the Eric the King song for Ten Hag now?
Well, I drink, yeah, maybe. Before we wrap up,
Wally of the Week.
Ethan, give us your Wally of the Week.
Is it the Newcastle fans for all waving the white flag before you'd even kicked
off?
Nice.
There was a supporter before kickoff who I saw who was crying just for getting to Wembley. That was kind of Wally material.
That's what you call a winner's mentality, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
just for getting to Wembley. What is he? Did he walk there from the trophy? Do you know what I mean? Well done. You've got to Wembley like about 17 million other people during the last 100 years. Get a grip.
There was producer Callum's just reminding me. There was a fella in the stands who was on TV a couple of times.
Just a fella, Jay.
And he looked like even more enormous size of James Corden, the Newcastle fan with NUFC on his belly.
Why do you love taking your tops off as well? Right. It's a bit cold, so we'll take our tops off and show how funny we are because it's cold, but we're still wearing no clothes.
I've never known a sort of part of the country more willing to have their shirts off on a cold day than the Geordies. That has become almost a stereotype.
Yeah,
do you know what? The thing I like about Newcastle is every stereotype about them is quite likeable. Like, even this thing that they're sort of lovable losers. Like, as in a footballing sense, not as people. But, like, the fact that you get to Wembley and you lose, it's quite a sort of, oh, go on then, we like them a bit. Do you know what I mean? They're quite likeable, aren't they? What have you heard?
I'm not saying the stereotypes that I've heard, but they're not likeable ones. Right? By any stretch of the imagination. But I don't want to upset all the Newcastle fans who are already gunning for me anyway. Right, go on then. Who's your Molly of the Week?
Not Wally of the Week.
Wally's of the Week.
But I would look, no, just person that I want to draw attention to.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen the reaction of everyone else when Dubravka was on the coach end with his winner's medal.
Yeah.
How good would that have been? He that must have felt like a right twat.
Did he have it? Do you reckon he had it there? He can't have had it there on the coach.
Why not?
He can't have sat there.
Does he get a winner's medal and a runner's up medal?
I don't know. No, we don't get a runner's up medal, I don't think. So it was cup sign.
Are you going? Oh, yeah.
I used the office meme. It was perfect office meme. So, wasn't it?
You still thinking about that? I lied to it.
Yeah.
Oh, you Sean. Longy.
Yeah.
How come your medal's silver and mine's all gold and that? Why has that happened? I didn't even start today and I've got a winner's medal. That's weird, isn't it?
I don't know. Collect a winner's medal and pull a bloody stupid face on the pitch, right? Typical me.
What am I like? Why am I the only one spraying champagne in this dressing room, guys?
Why has Dan Byrne threatened to wrap that bottle around my head?
It's very weird. Who's yours?
I'm trying to think who's like, because it's been such a euphoric occasion.
I'm ill, like, by the way.
I'm trying to think of, no one's really. Do you know what? Right, I'd say, yeah, there is some people. All these sort of idiots on Twitter. Yeah. Who misinterpret medical journals to come out with nonsensical stats.
Interesting.
Like, your mate was doing it, Jordan Peterson, who you love.
My mate, he's not my mate.
Like, oh, 58% of women who've had the vaccine have had miscarriages. No, they've not. That's not true. So why are you spreading that? Mm. That's dangerous nonsense. And anyone who reads any of the, like, medical journals that are actually proper medical journals, not ones that are written on the back of a toilet door, can see that that's not true.
Mm.
And yet it gets spread, and now you've got prominent people on Twitter, including the owner of Twitter, amplifying it. And I think, why are you doing that? You're not that thick.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So that's my Wally of the Week.
Love it. This pseudoscience on social media.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just read a bloody book. Yeah. Anyway, this has been the Paddock Podcast.
Sponsored by
Manscaped. Big thanks to them. Make sure you go and check out the Manscaped products that I am strongly urging Joseph to go and use right now. Because
I stink.
He is quite literally putrid.
30 hours. So.
Big thanks to Ethan James as well for being a good sport. He's a good lad, Ethan. And, you know, he did his little thing. And I did a little tweet yesterday, not a tweet, an Instagram post, because he did his little thing on the coach. On the train, we had his Newcastle top under his hoodie. It's like me in the new camp. He's keeping his head down. Thanks to him. Big thanks to you as well, Joe. Go and check out Sloppy Joe's, where you can hear from Ethan and Joe, one of the funniest podcasts on the internet. Go and check that out. There's a link in the description. You know where to find me, Jay Motti, as well. We'll be back tomorrow with the news. So that's been Joe. That's been Ethan. I've been Jay. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Big thanks to Manscaped, and thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.